fighting tyranny. You're listening to Knights of the Storm.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Knights of the Storm. Today is Saturday, October the 7th, 2023. I'm your host, of course, Jason Barker. My co-host to the, I guess, the right of me, left of me, Angus Mustang. And today we have a very special guest, Mr. Don Jeffries. He's an author, a podcaster, and just an overall smart guy. So I guess we'll start with you, Don. How you doing this morning?
Fine. Thanks for having me.
All right. Maybe one of the most censored guys as well, which is going to be the topic today.
Yeah. Shadow Man. Hey,
Angus, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good this morning, Jason. And yourself?
I'm doing all right, except for what's going on, you know, in the Middle East right now. We'll see how that pans out. But I don't know. We're going to be a war on three fronts soon, I fear, you know. But anyway, let's go ahead and jump into the verse of the week and get that knocked out. And I chose one. Let's see. Here we go. So this comes from Jeremiah. Now, typically, you'll read 2 through 6, but it's kind of long. So I just went with 4 through 6. And it says, "Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord." So I picked that because, you know, we're supposed to live not by lies, but that's where we're living today. And it's worse than just lies, but the truth is withheld. And that's kind of what this was talking about. If you take it in context, you know, the point of it to me is they get you to live by lies so you don't come to know the truth, which is to know who God is. So that's kind of what I take away from it. I see us in those kind of days right now. What do you think? I'll let Don go first. What do you think about that?
It's definitely not love your neighbor. It's don't trust your neighbor, I guess. That's probably more realistic, at least in today's. Yeah, that's certainly something we can all relate to. That it's hard to. Was it Diogenes? It was searching in the daylight with a flash or not flash a torch for an honest man. And I don't know if Diogenes ever found an honest man, but honest men are rare these days. So unfortunately, yeah, we don't have to worry about just the lies of the state, you know, and the cover ups. But unfortunately, we have our friends and family members, neighbors who also are sometimes engaged in lying and deception.
What do you think, Angus?
Yeah, to me, I mean, now we're looking kind of like what Don was saying, but we're at a point in life where they're making the lies truth and the truth lies. They're, you know, flipping everything. They'll change the definition like they've done with other things. Right. Where a lie is truth and the truth is a lie. So,
yeah, well, I think that's. Oh, go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
No, I'll say when you're especially when you're pushing such immorality. You know, you don't have to be a Puritan to recognize how immoral, you know, like transgenderism and all that stuff is. And what is the truth? You know, I don't know that we agree on absolute truth anymore. You know, there's they love to talk about these gray areas. And that's the thing is that sometimes truth is whatever is convenient for them to be, you know. And so I think you have to have some kind of standards. But, you know, we don't have any standards anymore. I mean, how many Americans do you think would agree that the Ten Commandments are something to follow? I mean, hell, you know, I don't know how many husbands that don't covet their neighbor's wives. And, you know, I just wrote a Substack that I'm going to be publishing after this. It talks about the history of theft, you know, and wartime and just, you know, we're widespread thieves. You know, that's all there is to it. So thou shalt not steal is meaningless, you know. And so, you know, I don't know what kind of standards we have. So, yeah, objective truth. It means nothing if everyone doesn't agree on what it is.
Yeah. And I think that's the heart of censorship is that each person, you know, whether it's Canada or United States or whoever the powers that be will, they want to determine what truth is for their agenda. And, you know, it's dishonesty. It's more than just being dishonest. It's also stopping people who are speaking the truth. And my fear is it's going to get to the point where it's criminalized. And I guess to kick off the topic, I want to talk about your book, Masking the Truth, because you went through a roller coaster ride with this one. I remember you had put up screenshots, and on Amazon, they, you know, they wouldn't take it down, but they made it hard to find. And I looked, and you have every single one of your reviews is a 5-star.
Yeah.
On Amazon right now, there's no 4.5. There's no 4. They're all 5-star reviews. So there's no reason for them to downgrade that or to hide it. But then what did they do? They made it $1,000 to buy a paperback, you know? So, and that's a trick they use that they make, like with guns.
Yeah.
Make it prohibitively expensive. So let's, I guess we'll talk about, and I did want to share this real quick. Let me share where I got my copy from, in case people are having trouble. Lulu is where you sent me, right, Don?
Yes.
And it was available there right away. I was able to get it. It did take a little longer to ship here than, say, an Amazon 2-day delivery, but it was worth it. So, I don't know, kind of give us a take. Last time I had you on, we talked about what's in the book. Now I kind of want to talk about the censorship battle that you've been going through with the book.
Well, I'm calling it the most shadow banned book in the world. It's, you know, it's, you mentioned the $999. That was Apple Books. I don't know if they're still listing it for that, but they were listing it for $999 on Apple. I don't know who buys from Apple Books anyhow, but Amazon has been playing games. And even today, and I have another book coming out. It's already out there for pre-sale that I co-wrote with William Law about the JFK assassination. And that'll be officially out on November 15th. So it's already up on Amazon. But if you look, if you just search like books by Donald Jeffries, I mean, that's my 9th book. So you'll see all my books except Masking the Truth. They don't list it with my books. Now it's there, but you just have to go, you know, it's harder to find. That's the way it is everywhere. They don't, they're not exactly making it, you know, impossible to find, but they're making it hard to find. So on Amazon, it's not there. And on Amazon, I was stuck at 18 reviews for a real long time. That's to heard me talking because I was complaining about it. They finally let a 19th in there. But I've had many people tell me that, hey, I wrote a review, we put it up there, and it never went up. So they're clearly blocking that. That never happened to any of my other books. And you mentioned the 5-star reviews, and that's great. But the problem is with a subject matter this controversial, especially, you're not going to find, you see, it's not there. You're not going
to. Yeah, I did not notice that, Don. I did not notice that. I searched for the title of the book and was able to find it.
Yeah.
But wow, find it. Crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously they're doing that deliberately, but, so what's amazing is that there has not been any negative word about it anywhere. And it's not, how would you not expect that? They're just ignoring it. Everyone is ignoring it. There's not been one critical word about it. And you said they're all glowing 5-star reviews. Everybody that I've heard from loved it. But I mean, you expect to hear from, you know, people that support you. But there should be, somebody should have bought it and put up a 1-star review like they did with all my other books. You know, 1-star ban, or even, they don't have to review it now. You can just give it a 1-star on Amazon, but you don't even get that. So they're just absolutely ignoring it. And that's, you know, that's probably worse than not, because I don't get a chance then to defend it or whatever, because nobody's attacking. And this, when I go searching, you know, I search for it, and I'll do searches, and Google is the worst, but even through Google, you can find when people say things like all my other books, if I search for them just to see like who is sharing it on blogs, who is, you know, who is writing about it. And there's always something being said about, you know, all my books, but this one, nothing. There's nothing. If you do a search on any search engine for Masking the Truth, Donald Jeffries, you'll find links to interviews like this, just my interviews about it. That's it. And, you know, it will show you the Amazon link and the Barnes & Noble link, maybe Books a Million. That's it. It won't show. There will be nothing like anybody discussing it. Absolutely no one is discussing it. All media outside of, again, people like you, SGT Report, Sam Tripoli. I mean, I've been on lots of shows with it. Coast to Coast, which I've been on probably at least a dozen times over the year. I promoted all my books on Coast to Coast. They wouldn't let me on for that. They had a meeting with George Norrie where he told all the guest hosts, because I was trying to go through them, no, we're not discussing this. So it's,
wow.
This is the most shadow banned book in the world, because what makes a difference between my friend Naomi Wolf's book and Robert F. Kennedy's book about Fauci, or Alex Berenson's book, and they're all good books, Peter McCullough's book in their own right, but they all start with the premise that there was some deadly virus. And most of them believe the Republican thing that it's leaked out of a lab and it was China that was did it. And that the virus somehow may be some kind of weapon, when in react, I show from point A that this thing has never been proven to exist. It's never been isolated. Nobody knows what it is. And if you believe in the viral theory, which more and more people don't, but if you do, the science tells you it burns out every in the heat. And so it would have to be a different virus that came back the next fall during flu season. That's not the case of this. We're going on into the fourth year here. And it's still having variants and popping up in the middle of summer in parts. That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And if that's the case, then they need to admit their viral theory was wrong. And they're not going to do that. They just keep trotting it out there whenever. And it's interesting. We talk, I guess, about Israel and the terrorism, but it has replaced terrorism. Nobody talks about it. When's the last terrorist act you heard of? They don't talk about it. Once COVID hit the screen, terrorism was gone. COVID didn't kill any people, I don't think, but it killed terrorism. And so it's, yeah. You know, it's not looked at, I don't think, that way. I think I'm the only one that's discussing it. Now, I'm the only one talking about the empty hospitals and the dancing nurses and all that who are back. And nobody wants to talk about that. They're a part of the production. And the fact that they're there, the fact the southern border was never closed from the beginning, it all gives away the scripted nature of it, that this was never real. Because if it had been real, they would have closed the southern border. But they didn't ever do that. They would have had their masks on themselves. They would have been afraid to hug each other. They wouldn't have gone on as business as usual because they'd be terrified of catching this thing too, right? They never acted like that. And also, if they shut down the small businesses, they would have shut down the large chains as well, selling the same products.
Bingo. So that's bingo, because it's more of a super spreader event, right? Walmart. You got more people that come into contact with each other than like a mom and pop, you know, that maybe gets 10 customers in an afternoon that are in there at different times, you know?
Right. And Black Lives Matter's rallies would have been just as dangerous and super spreaders as Trump rallies, but they weren't.
Yep.
But that's, you know, that's the other thing now, you know, they always say that COVID is the first time in history where they call it a case, even though you're not sick.
Yes.
You know, so the past couple of weeks, I've had people at work, you know, they were out for a week and, you know, and I questioned and they said, COVID. Well, I had COVID. Yeah. It's like, I don't feel good right now, Jason. I, neither one of us, you know, we're both because of the weather and everything. But I guarantee if I go get a PCR test, one of them and stick it up my nose, it's going to say I have COVID. So
90%, like, yeah.
People forgot that there's colds and flu. Everything is COVID. It's all.
Yeah, it's the first thing that I think they said, that the first history of disease ever where they have to tell you, notify you're sick. You're asymptomatic. In other words, asymptomatic used to mean not sick. Now it's asymptomatic, so it's like a term and people, oh, yeah, I'm asymptomatic. They're finding out that they have COVID by taking the home test kits, which is a PCR test that Kerry Mullis invented and said was worthless. The guy that invented the test, not a conspiracy theorist, he said it was worthless. So these people, these panicked sheeple, are taking these tests nonstop and they're getting a sniffle. And like I said, look, if this was something different, like the Black Plague, I think what we've heard, read about Europe, you could tell people had the Black Plague. I think they literally, at least their skin would turn black at some point or would dark. There was something in terrible sores and all kinds of stuff that they weren't used to seeing. And obviously, you know, they were dropping like flies and bring out your wheelbarrows and all that stuff. We saw the Monty Python skit, bring out your dad or whatever. But so I think people maybe expected to see something like that. But in the case of COVID, the symptoms are indistinguishable from a cold or the flu. So you don't get something different, like your hand doesn't suddenly swell to monstrous proportions or something that you can tell, oh, it's got to be COVID. There's nothing different about it, but people think, and once they get a sniffle, then they panic. Oh, my God, what is it? What is this? It's COVID. I better go to the hospital and be killed like they killed my brother and so many others. So it's this is people, but you can't make them. They're not reasoning now after all the shots and the boosters that they've had, and they're still supposedly getting it. There's nothing you can say to them. They drank the Kool-Aid and they're ready to lay down like they did at Jonestown.
So well, I think the other thing is that you get that COVID test and you say, oh, you know, you call in the work, hey, I have COVID, I'm going to be out a week, and they can't question it. You know, you might not get paid, but you get 5 days off that you don't have to account for.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about when it comes to like, you know, banning the shadow banning the books or whatever, you know, I was thinking, like, why is the real Anthony Fauci book able to be out there and, you know, other right. books? And I kind of had an epiphany on it. Your book is different in one way. You put the blame on the machine, the entire machine. Yeah. And the way our system works is there's always a scapegoat. Every president that screws up blames it on the last administration. Well, that guy's out of here. You know, it's easy to blame Fauci and say Fauci's mm-hmm. the reason for all this. But when you start talking about the things that you're observing and documented, you start to see that the entire machine was in on it. And they can't have that. And that's why they're coming after podcasts next. And I want to kind of jump into what's going on in Canada. Because I see it, they kind of get their toe in the door, and then they start broadening definitions. This is how they work gun control. And that's what they're going to start doing with censorship until the point that it's criminalized. You say something that goes against the government, the machine narrative, the truth that we want to call this the truth, even though you know it's BS. Don't believe your lying eyes. And if you try to point the truth out, we're going to put you in jail. That's where it's going to come to. We already have people on, especially on the left, and even some on the right, that talk about hate speech and people should be prosecuted for hate speech.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, because what happens when they come for you? Because eventually you're going to say something that they don't like. So I guess we'll jump into it. The thing. So, oh, go ahead, Angus.
So, you know, I just want to say one thing. Do you think that maybe the real Anthony Fauci book by RFK doesn't get black flagged like your book? So in the play of all things political, they can make it look like RFK is against, you know, he's fighting the system, when it's all just, like I said, just political theater, you know, to insert this guy into there and go, oh, this guy's for us.
Hmm. That's interesting. Interesting thought.
Well, I think, again, it's they're allowing degrees of debate on COVID, but it's like you know, when Jim Fetzer, who's kind of a friend of mine, but he's a little out there, but when he put together that book and he came up with a really stupid, I mean, it was a neat, senselessly triggering title, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. That's what, and please, if anybody's trying to quote me and saying this, I didn't say that. That's the title of the book, but it was banned instantly on Amazon. And so, because it was too far. So, and that's the problem, is when people, when they draw conclusions, maybe they speculate a little bit, but in the case, I'm not, you know, theorizing anything. I'm just telling you that COVID-19 has not been proven to exist. The way you prove it exists is you show isolates of it, and you isolate the strain, the COVID-19 strain. They've never been able to isolate the strain. And I published the documents of the book that talked about, the woman that filed the Freedom of Information Act in Canada when she was trying to she wanted to say for the people, because, you know, no journalist is going to do that because they're not interested in investigating anything. So it has to be citizens, like it's been for the JFK assassination and everything else for decades. Never journalists, professional journalists. But she wanted documentation of the isolates. She wanted to say, how did you isolate COVID-19, the strain, when you developed this vaccine? Well, the FDA, who had to, of course, approve the vaccine, the FDA wrote back to her eventually and said, these isolates are not available. And they said that they weren't available at the time because they've never been available, which is a strange thing, you know, to never be able to find this thing that's everywhere. And apparently, you know, indestructible after 4 years. But they said that that what they did to use the vaccine, they had to simulate COVID-19. By using remnants of the regular coronavirus. And of course, the regular coronavirus is the common cold and just regular sicknesses that we come down with. So, I mean, it's there in black and white. They tell you, I'm not telling you that. They tell you they can't produce it. The guy who developed the PCR test, which is the foundation of this panic, Terry Mullis, told you that it's 90% false positive and that, you know, you can get any reading you want from it. So, that's not a conspiracy theory saying. So that's probably why my book is the only one that's going to really stress that. My book's the only one that's going to go down the rabbit holes. It's going to talk about the empty hospitals. It's going to talk about the fake pictures out of Italy of the row of coffins that were from 10 years before in another part of the world. They're going to talk about the medical simulation specialist who I tried to get a hold of and has vanished down the memory hole herself, who did that ridiculous report from an ICU where she, again, I worked in a hospital. She broke all the HIPAA rules, the red rules and HIPAA rules and regulations when she went and filmed supposedly in an ICU unit in a New York hospital and was complaining about the lack of ventilators, which we know later killed so many people, including my brother, and made them $39,000 each. But so she was, and they went in a story on, I tried to look up about her. They said she was in, she specialized in medical simulation. Now, what does that mean? That sounds very hokeyish, Sandy Hookish, doesn't it? Medical simulation. So it plays into, especially when you see the empty hospitals, because the same hospital where she filmed this chaotic ICU unit was one of those that Jason Goodman or Citizen Richard, one of those guys went around the same day and was filming outside where nothing was going on. And the paramedics are standing around smoking cigarettes or joking. And every time that they would ask these people, these EMTs who should be overwhelmed, every time they'd ask about COVID, they just kind of giggle or smile. It's like, what do you mean? Because again, it's like, how else can we not think this is some kind of a joke when you're doing that? And then of course the dancing nurses, the most ridiculous thing of all. I worked in a hospital. There's no way, there's no hospital in the world where there would be a place where you could stage something like that. And yet they had patients and stretchers and stuff, like it was in a medical setting. No administration would ever allow that. It would be so disruptive. Even as bad as they are, they wouldn't purposely go out and cause some kind of noisy thing around patients. They would never do that. It would never be permitted. And how did they have the time to do it? I mean, this was, they were choreographed routines. And, you know, beg the speculation that they're actors, crisis actors. So what else would you be? And now they gave it away. They went away for a while after being, you know, lauded on the Today Show or one of those stupid fluffy shows. I mean, not one of those, you know, airheaded reporters thought to say, a lot of you are doing that dancing. Who was watching the patients? And did the patients complain about the noise? You know, they didn't say anything like that, which a real journalist would do. Instead, they're, oh my God, you guys, you know, you're so, it must have been, it really relieved the pressure because you're so overwhelmed. And again, same hospitals filmed empty by Jason Goodman. But now you guys will be happy to know they're back. The dancing nurses are back, and they're dancing not for 9/11 truth, not for free speech, not to free the January 6th prisoners, but for climate change. So again, they give the game away. The nurses are dancing for climate change. The border isn't closed. BLM protests are just fine. They're not super spreaders. Trump rallies are, or trucker, you know, rallies or biker rallies are. It's so obvious. And I think that's what's different about my book, because I'm showing you what a joke this all is. There's nothing else you can call it except the greatest psyop in the history of the world.
So Anne in the chat, she said that she actually did get sick and it was like nothing she ever had before. And I think that there were people that got sick. And I was researching into Event 201 and looking at some paperwork over at Johns Hopkins. And when Event 201, I think it was while it was beginning to be, you know, when they hosted it or they were preparing to host it or whatever. At the same time, I found a article by Johns Hopkins, or a paper, if you will. And it actually had warned. Now, get this. They were warning at the same time 201 was going on that there was two places here in the U.S. that were messing around with a version of bird flu, trying to aerosolize it. They were doing gain of function, which we outsourced the gain of function because we're not allowed to do that, right? But they openly said, hey, this is what's going on, and this could be potentially very dangerous. So I don't know. In my conspiracy, my tinfoil hat wearing self, I'm thinking that it wasn't from China, that it was what they were working on here in the U.S., and it just wasn't as effective as they thought. That's what I think. I think it was actually supposed to be a lot more effective. Some people did get really, really sick. The PCR tests are garbage. All it's telling you is you got some stuff floating around in you, and let's magnify. I mean, we all got. If you've ever been sick in your life, you're going to have some of those protein, some of those, what you call them, the, I forget what the word is, but you're going to have those pieces floating around you, the RNA, that's it, the little chunks of RNA and stuff floating around in you that's just benign. It doesn't do anything. Magnify it times a trillion, and then all of a sudden it looks like you're dying from some pathogen. But I don't know, that's my thing is, what I think is that they tried to pull it off, it didn't work, so then they had to give the appearance it works. And your book is dangerous and it's being censored because it shows that the entire machine is in on it. It doesn't place the blame on one person. They could just make go away and say, oh, we'll make sure we watch out for that next time, because the machine is part. It is the problem. And then right. they're going to start cranking down censorship. Right now, they're kind of having to shadow ban it, but they're going to make it through lawfare. They will make it illegal and they will imprison people at some point in the future. And that's what I think.
It wouldn't surprise me. And I certainly I feel for Ann or anybody else who's, and I know people are sick, but the problem is, I don't see, and I've heard other people say this was, I've never had anything like this, but I try to ask them, well, what was different about it? I lost my taste or my sense of smell. Well, I've had colds in the past where you lost your taste and your sense of smell. I think, again, it's implanted in your mind that this is deadly thing out there. So if you get sick, like, a lot of people, catch something. And, the flu has killed, as many as 80,000 people in a year in recent years. So we know that there can be bad strains of flu that are worse than others. And the power of suggestion is very strong. And I still say, I'm still trying to find anybody who, and no one's able to produce it. It's kind of like trying to produce the isolates. Everybody that supposedly died of COVID, to my knowledge, died in a hospital under their protocol, which kills people as it killed my brother. I have yet to find anybody who died of COVID at home. And I'd like to find who that person was. So I think if you go to the same outfit that's producing this show, the show is being produced by the medical industrial complex, the CDC, the WHO, all of the hospitals across the country, all the people who are participating in it and to some degree or another. So if you're going to them for help, times they do maybe, but other times you don't come out of there. So I don't know what she had or what anybody else has, but for everybody that's told me they're sick, it just sounds like extremely serious flu symptoms. And again, I don't know what would be different other than that people said they couldn't taste or couldn't smell, but that has happened. It happened to me. It happens sometimes when you get sick, and it's very. I remember, especially when I was young, I would get so mad because I'd have something where I still have my appetite, but I couldn't taste anything. I said, this is terrible. just have shoveling stuff in, and I can't taste it. So it does happen. But I just question again, when you start from the very beginning, when you see what happened out of China and all the dishonesty from the fake people collapsing in the street, the woman walking around supposedly spitting on doorknobs. And then in my book, I show you, I have the Chinese source there that admitted finally, we did include flu and pneumonia victims in our supposed COVID victims. Italy, same thing. After all that fear porn, thousands of people dying and everything. Oh, my God. Well, actually, 99% of them had something else. So, again, they admitted it. And then it comes to New York and you have the empty hospitals nonsense, the hysteria about, again, if it was a real thing, you wouldn't need to make up this science fiction nonsense that the morgues are overflowing and they're digging graves on Rikers Island. Well, the prisoners have always dug graves there for pauper graves. There was nothing new, but and they're putting them in the refrigerated trucks down by the New Jersey River and everywhere else. And they've been sitting there for a year. And again, you had people out there, citizen journalists who went out there and got as close as they could, because you can't get close, and zoomed in on these refrigerated trucks. All of them were off. They were all turned off. There wasn't a single body refrigerated anywhere. There's absolute bullshit. And yet they were peddling it. Why would they peddle that if this is a real thing? Why do you need the hysteria? And again, the dancing nurses, that's part of this. The empty hospitals are part of it. The fact that they closed down small businesses, but not national change, that's part of it. The fact that they, they even through the election where the mass mail-in ballots and everything, they made fraud easier. All of this, but Trump's events are super spreaders. But everybody, George Floyd has to have 12 funerals and everybody can go there and hug each other, that kind of stuff. Inconsistency. Bill de Blasio in New York said he was banning all rallies except Black Lives Matter rallies. What? That's not the way science works. So again, that's why I'm dubious of it all. I know, and I feel for anybody who is sick. I know lots of people, but people get sick all the time. They get the flu, they get cold. Sometimes you're knocked out in bed for a week. You know, it happens. So I just think that, keep that in mind. It just, you know, you're thinking that you have this awful thing and you're relying on the fact that the medical industrial complex, who's producing this extravaganza, is telling you what you have through this PCR test, which the inventor of it said was worthless. So that's all I would say is that it, to me, it's based on a giant lie.
Oh, the you were talking about the power of suggestion, and in my personal experience, throughout the, when the military was locked down and sent home and we did the remote, you know, meetings and stuff, I had to work through almost all that. I mean, I had a few days that I stayed at home, but we basically had a project that had a deadline that had to be done. It was a construction project, and it had to be done by a certain day. So that project did not stop. And I was out on the job site almost every single day for 12, 13 hours a day. I had to drive on base to get the Humvee because they won't let me take my truck out there. I had to deal with the people in the motor pool. I had to deal with the people at the gate, you know, drive out to the job site and then come back the same route every single day. And I didn't get sick, yet we had people that were, I guess, deemed non-essential. Maybe you got a soldier that doesn't really have anything that needs to be done. So just stay home. Don't do anything. You know, get your Grubhub, you know, don't leave, you know, make sure that you, anyone in your house is in a separate rooms wearing mask, you know, and close the blinds and hide under the covers. I don't know, but they were getting sick. They would call it, oh, I just tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
How did you catch it? How did you catch it if you haven't left your house? You know, that was the big BS when you talk about the power of suggestion. You know, maybe you're sick because you haven't been outside getting fresh air. You know, you haven't got any sunlight, no fresh air. Maybe you're eating garbage and you just feel like crap. And then your mind tells me, oh, it might be COVID. Let me get one of these tests mailed to me. Oh, it's positive. You know, I can't tell you how many people supposedly got COVID that didn't come in contact with anybody at all. Yeah. So that just scientifically, that doesn't make sense.
And just look at the things they had, the ropes. I mean, just again, this is not science when you tell everybody, okay, you can go to restaurants now, but you have to wear a mask to get in. But as soon as you get to the table, you can take it off. And I put in my book later, we found out that Fauci, again, who is one of the orchestrators of these absurd, you know, laughable rules like that, that you don't even tell kindergartners, they're so stupid. He was laughing at how dumb people were to follow his idiotic rules. He was laughing, especially about that restaurant thing. And I remember at the time I was trying to tell people, and they just look at you like you're from outer space. And that's why it was so successful, because people were terrified. I kept saying, yeah. And I would just, you know, say in public, and my wife hated it when I did that, but I would say, like, okay, let's get to the safety of the table because the virus can't catch us, can't get us there. And you would go in stores and they had the big plexiglass thing at the post office everywhere, which was, you know, open at the top, open at the bottom, open at the sides. I mean, what was it? You would have your, for protection, you would have a covering on the, you know, on the credit card things at grocery stores, but everybody was touching the cover. I mean, you know, the cashier that was, you know, who were protected from was touching all your items. I mean, the entire thing was ridiculous. There was, I mean, and you talk about the emperor not wearing any clothes. And I just remember just, God, it's shaking my head and just looking at how gullible these people were. And so, yeah, I know some of them got sick, but I don't know anybody that really believed in this, that was terrified of it and believed in it 100%, was taking the PCR test all the time at home, that didn't come down with COVID. Because I think some of them, and now it's like it's become a virtue signaling thing. I got COVID again, and long COVID. They even invented this stupid thing. And I go into the book about that. I talk about the activist, the Democratic Party activist. She wasn't just an housewife that came out of nowhere. She was an activist with big ties to Biden and Obama and all these people, Clinton, I think. She's the one who decided that something had to be done about this COVID thing early on in her neighborhood. And she's the one that came up with the ridiculous Orwellian term long COVID. So now you have people there, you know, it's just like hate speech. Long, what is long COVID? What the hell is that?
I think that's vaccine injury. They'd had to come up with something to cover
it. Yeah, anything real like that is from, because again, that's what people, when you talk about COVID, it takes the onus off the vaccine. The vaccine is the bioweapon. And they tell you, going back to Dark Winter in 2001 and through Agenda 201, all the tabletop exercises they had. And it was no accident that Joe Biden, after he stumbled into the presidency, was babbling about dark winter all that first week. It's going to be a dark winter. It's going to be a dark winter. They told him to do that because that's what their first exercise was.
You know what? Speaking of that, I went and watched the highlights reel of Catastrophic Contagion. That was the one they ran after, after COVID. Mm-hmm. And going back to our topic, which is censorship, if you go through and you read these documents or you watch their videos, because they do a pretty good production of it. I mean, what is it, ZNN or whatever? It's like a CNN. It looks mm-hmm. like newscasting and all that, and the reporting and all that. And then they sit down and they video them having the discussion, like, hey, what did we learn from this? What should we do? What did we learn? And it's always like all the other ones was like, how quickly can we get a vaccine? How do we convince people to take it? You know, this, that, and the other. Use celebrities. You know, it's all pitching the narrative, and it's spelled out. I mean, COVID was spelled out. I think it was it event 201. It was either event 201 or the SPARS pandemic. Read that. Yeah. That is exactly to the T. Change a couple names, change a couple letters, and that's what happened during COVID. But the thing that caught me, that kind of caught me by surprise, you go check out the Catastrophic Contagion, this latest one they did. I think they've done one since then as well, but their takeaway wasn't the same. Their takeaway was controlling the narrative. It was more focused on, and I think coming into censorship. But one of the biggest things they said was, they said that the WHO recommendations are not law, and they see that as a problem. So that's where it's going to go hand in hand with censorship, that, hey, maybe they're going to push to make it law, like a model health emergency kind of declaration or I can't think today. I'm a little groggy, but you know what I'm talking about? Like they, if they can't make it law, what they can do is they can censor things that go against the narrative to gain public support. That's kind of where I seen that going. So it's getting away. I guess they figured out how to scare people into taking a drug that might kill you. Okay, over something that maybe doesn't exist, but you know, how do we keep people from telling the truth? And that kind of falls in line with what they've done with your book, which is bury it.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, all I there's no, you know, I'm kind of giving you my opinion now, but it's based on, you know, on analyzing this evidence. But the book just talks about, you know, from point A to point Z, and I just don't see how you could look at this any other way. That there's, as irresponsible as our leaders are, if for instance, if there was an actual invasion from outer space or something, not a Project Bluebeam, if they actually came and there were aliens threatening us, so we did really have to Earth first, you know, we had to really rally together, I think their shenanigans would have to stop if it wasn't part of their plot. You know, they would act differently. They don't know how to, because they've never done that, but they would certainly take precautions. Same thing with this. If some kind of deadly virus, some kind of deadly disease just came out, whether it was leaked by the Chinese, you know, unknown to them, so it's the China, China, China stuff, you know, whatever, they would have acted a certain way from the very beginning. They would have taken the expected precautions. The first thing they would have done is seal the borders. But mm-hmm. they can never seal the southern border because they have to have that. That's part, one of the main planks of their agenda, to have a constant stream of undocumented, you know, illegal immigrants coming across the border. So politics didn't stop. The same thing with, they would have acted differently. They would have responded to it differently. They would have walked the walk. They would have led by example. So Nancy Pelosi wouldn't have, you know, sauntered into a beauty salon without her mask on, and then tried to get the woman fired who exposed it on camera. Gavin Newsom wouldn't have been out to dinner, eating in close proximity, no social distancing, at some table in a fancy restaurant with a bunch of people laughing and giggling, just like there was no pandemic going on, with no social distancing at all, acting just like normal. Rachel Levine, when she, you know, she got promoted to thing, wouldn't have engineered things so that his own mother could get out of one of the nursing homes, which were becoming kill zones, thanks to Cuomo. All these people, Chris Cuomo wouldn't have been caught outdoors and tried to bully some poor 60-some-year-old guy on a bicycle that came by and got up in his face and acted just like Frodo, which, you know, people got him incensed calling him that. He wouldn't have done that because he would have been, he was telling everybody, I'm in my basement, I'm quarantined in the basement. The whole thing was theater. So if that's theater, why would that be theater? Why would he pretend to be in the base? Well, I talk about the guy that had a long series of, I think, an NBC or one of the networks who was documenting, I think it was Doctor too, documenting his battle with COVID. Turns out eventually they had to admit he'd never had COVID. So what was that all about? They had story after story about it. You know, even in Doctor can get it. And he's, look how long he's got it and stuff. What was that about? Was he sick? I mean, I'm just saying there's these kinds of things. What do the dancing nurses mean? That you can't, they don't fit into a real pandemic. Nurses are not allowed to dance in hospitals. The only way they would dance is if there was some kind of psyop, giant psyop going on. They wouldn't lie and say that the patients were overflowing and in refrigerated trucks. Why would they do that when they're clearly not? They're just monstrous lies. And, you know, they respond to people trying to expose the lies by doing stuff like what they're doing with my book, because nobody else is talking about all this stuff. It's all part of the equation. It goes way beyond the, did they lie about the lab leak or gain of function research and all that. That's where some people go. I'm going from the very beginning because, again, it exposes, because everybody, there wasn't a single person. And then you got to remember, too, that when they decided to shut down the world, they effectively shut down the world in a couple of days. And not a single country, not a single leader around the world in this non-world government we have, right? Not one country balked. They all rolled over and played dead. None of them questioned the ridiculous social distancing where they just picked the 6 feet. They tell you they picked the 6 feet figure out of the air. None of them questioned wearing masks. None of them talked about, why aren't there any hazmats for the masks? Why, you know, these things are so dangerous, yet people just throwing them wherever they want. I mean, the COVID germs are everywhere when you do that, right? And we have to take such precautions. Why weren't there at least, like, you have, you know, containers for recycling? Why weren't there some special container for the masks? Nobody said, nobody even mentioned that. Yet why? So these are the questions that nobody else is asking. And that's why my book is being treated the way it is, I think, because I'm going way beyond what anybody else is doing.
We actually had one of our guys at work. He was a chemical guy, NBC guy, nuclear, biological, chemical. He brought that up early on. He's like, aren't these hazmat?
Yeah.
How about a funniest thing I ever saw is a meme, and somebody had repurposed the sunglasses, the thing that spins in the store, and you get the mirror so you can see how they look on you, and they put masks on them so you see how the mask looks. Nah, not
that. And then there's a photograph, you remember where, again, it's like they do in the JFK assassination with the magic bullet, or 9/11 with the magic passport floating down amidst all the rubble. They're calling cards. One of the calling cards in this was that photo that was widely distributed from some school where they had a smiling group of educators, adults, none of them masked. And before them, sitting in front of them, before them, were a group of masked children. Now that was, again, they're like Jack the Ripper letters. They're taunting the public. I mean, when you look at that picture, no adult that has critical thinking ability cannot understand what this lie is. Okay, so the kids who were under, even if you believe the COVID nonsense, the kids were under no threat of it. They were virtually, you know, they were under threat to get anything like that. So why were they masked? But if you assume, again, this is a pandemic, why wouldn't the adult be masked? Why aren't they terrified of catching this thing? Again, they're not terrified because they were all in, obviously, because otherwise they would have been masked up. They wanted people to see that photo. And I go down to the bottom of the rabbit holes. I'm an old baseball fan. I used to know old baseball inside out, you know, dead ball era, you know, I'd seen that picture from the 1918 World Series many times in books. That suddenly appeared with a batter at the plate in the 1918 World Series with a mask on. He was not wearing a mask in that photo. They photoshopped a mask onto it. Now, you're really going down the bottom of the rabbit hole, but I'd seen that picture. I know. Some of us know the subject matter. We'd seen it before, and wait a minute. There's no major league. Those guys were tough, unlike the modern athletes. There's no way in the world those guys in 1918, you would have put on some sissy mask when you're trying to play baseball. Never in a million years would have done that. Yet they superimposed it on there, and they have, again, they throw it out to the public, and the public thinks, oh, damn, that was serious, man. They even had to put masks on in baseball. No, they didn't. That's a fake photo. It's just as fake as the coffins coming out of Italy that was from 10 years previously in another part of the world. So I don't know how you explain that as other than to be a great, the greatest psyop in the history of the world.
One of the other kickoffs for me was all of a sudden your grocery stores had all the stickers, the arrows for the floor, the social distancing stickers. It was like overnight.
Yeah.
I didn't see like, you know, the printing shops, you know, the Office Depot or all that staying open late to print all these out. These things were boxed and ready to go. I mean, so you can't tell me it all wasn't planned.
No, and they done nonsensically for a while. They would rope off certain items so you couldn't buy it. Why? Why couldn't you buy like cleaning items? It made no sense. It was just, again, this was just, parts of it were just a drill to see how far they could push the orders. How there was a great work of fiction years ago that had a character, which I'd thought of him, that was running around everywhere. He was like a delinquent, but he was an intelligent delinquent because he was running around. And he would just stick up nonsensical signs, you know, all over places. He would go at night, like tack up a sign that says, you know, no standing within 2 feet of this pole, or, you know, just things that made no sense at all. And everybody obeyed them. So it's that kind of thing where they're not thinking rationally at all. So, okay, I can't buy this item from the store. Nobody's questioning, why can't I buy that item? What does that have to do with COVID or anything? That was part of the drill to see how many, just like walking into a restaurant, you must wear your mask going in, but you're safe when you get to the table. What? So the virus knows to hang around the doorway, and same thing with curfew. What was the curfew about? COVID's more dangerous after midnight. I mean, none of this made sense, but everybody fell for it.
Yeah. You know, to Angus's point, I've noticed this a lot when you'll have some, you know, spontaneous protest, right? You know, it just happens to be a pallet of bricks sitting right here, you know, along our parade route.
Yes.
But the thing is, you'll see like an incident happen. And then people will be out there on the streets and they'll be protesting and look at their t-shirts. The professionally printed signs,
yes,
all that stuff. You can't get that stuff made in 5 minutes, right? And you got all these people with the same t-shirts. Look at the people coming across the border. They have professionally made Biden, thank you, Biden t-shirt.
Yeah,
right. And this stuff is obviously organized, and I think that's the problem with, like I said, other books that are allowed to be out there, other podcasts, things like that. They're placing the blame on an individual that can be replaced. But you're kind of look at it. This is like the world's largest psyop, world's largest psyop and conspiracy. And I'm not saying that maybe the hospitals weren't in on the game, but they were incentivized and they'll take that incentive and run with it. You know, everyone gets their benefit somehow. They've figured out how to manipulate the machine to whoever they is. They've figured out how to manipulate the machine to get it to go along. And they're incentivized to make us believe it. So we go along.
Yeah. And they don't have to, you know, people think, well, how many people have to, they don't have to get like most people. Again, I worked in a hospital. I was engaged to a nurse at one time. I've known lots of nurses. And that was when they were, you know, far more intelligent back in those days. But most people don't question things. This is their job. So, yeah, they know, they may have some awareness that remdesivir and the ventilators are killing people and they're getting a profit from it. They're just following orders. You know, they still condemn the old, you know, teenage Germans, you know, during the World War II that, you know, just following orders. Yeah. Like, you know, like a teenager is supposed to take on the Third Reich, you know, out of principle. Like if they're as bad as everybody says, then they would kill them. Right. But so that's a ridiculous thing to condemn, you know, teenagers for following orders. Well, that's what they're doing here, though. Nurses, most doctors are not in on it unless maybe at the Fauci level or something. Certainly the CDC and the WHO, many of them, I think, are the people that, even some of the people that participate in the drills, they have, I you know, wrote a Substack recently where I talked about, you know, the more educated people are, the more they brainwashed they are, the less intelligent they are in terms of what's actually going on, the more apt they are to follow orders. So many of these big, first of all, the system has been very, very good to them. They're making lots of money. They're profiting from it. So why would they question something that's been so great to them? Nurses, you know, they have a nice job. It's one of the most secure jobs in the world. They can go anywhere in the world and get a job because there's always supposedly a nursing shortage. So again, they, and many of them are unthinking. You know, they're not critical thinkers to begin with. They're not going to question something. And they know, maybe they know, they've seen a few whistleblowers, and now what are they going to do? If they do, are they going to go to the media, who, you know, is not going to pay any attention to them, is going to demonize them? They're going to
You're talking about the carrot and the stick, right? You go along and you're taken care of, you know, we'll give you incentives, but then if you stand up against them, they'll bury you. And that was the stick. There people who do stand up, they get buried. They get just, you know, career wise murdered. And other people see that and say, well, maybe I don't really like it. I don't really care about the job, but I don't want to be like that guy. So I'm just going to go along, you know, I don't
And that's even assuming that, they can even think. I think most people are unthinking automatons. I think they go to their job, whatever their job is, whether it's and it's more likely if they have a blue collar job that they are able to think independently. But the more educated they are, the better job they have, the more likely they are to be brainwashed into thinking that that these things, these nefarious things, can't exist or whatever's going on. They trust the protocol. So even though the hospital protocol has killed untold numbers of people like my brother, those that follow the protocol believe in it because they're told it saves lives. Same thing as you have people that no matter what the evidence is of little kids getting heart attacks and all that stuff, vaccine saves lives. You just parrot the lie. And if they're part of the industry, because they know if you say, no, that's not true, they see what happens. If they are aware at all, they see what happens to people that say, no, actually, vaccines are killing people. Hospital protocols killing people. What happens to those people?
Don, we read from Pfizer's own documents and we got kicked off of YouTube. Read what they put out that says they were aware of the risk in young boys, myocarditis and pericarditis. And this is paperwork they tried to hide for 75 years. We got one of the documents. I checked the date on it. It was only like a day or two before our report. And it talked about pregnant women and breastfeeding women. Yep. They said they had zero data. You know what that tells me? There was no testing.
Right. Right.
Okay. Because if you did one test, you would have some kind of data. They said they had zero data on how the fetus is affected. They had zero data on what happens to breast milk for breastfeeding mothers. And then the with the young boys, myocarditis and pericarditis, the elevated risk.
Yeah.
Which that the risk of that is higher than the risk of even getting symptoms with supposed COVID. So, and something that I noticed right away, and it struck me odd that Trump kept saying the same thing over and over again. The cure can't be worse than the disease. So that tells me he knew that there was a problem with the cure. There was likely a problem with the cure, but it's okay as long as it's not worse than the disease.
Yeah.
And he said that over and over and over. I think he knew that there were problems. And I think he wanted to CYA to say, well, hey, I said that it couldn't be worse. And they told me it wasn't worse.
Well, Trump, as always, Trump is Trumpenstein. You know, he was again, portrayed as the opposition to this pandemic, the planet. He was the one that was skeptical. He never put on his mask. He didn't want and he still, to this day, even though he's bragging about the vaccine and everything, still the breakdown, if you look at the people that are awake to what, even if they don't think COVID was the greatest psyop in the history of the world, and they don't go to my extremes, they realize that you were lied to, and certainly we weren't told the truth about this, greatly exaggerated to say the least. Those people are almost all people who voted for Trump, maybe still support Trump. The breakdown is like that. The people on the other side who hate Trump are the biggest believers in COVID. Almost all. I don't think I've met any so-called liberal Democrats that, oh, this is bullshit. You know, this is ridiculous. COVID was a scam. They believe in it. And the breakdown, and a lot of that is because of the behavior of what I call Trumpenstein, where he acted during the thing. You know, we need to open up again. Because he was sitting in a trailer park, like he wasn't president. Like he's the one that didn't send the orders out to the states, you know, and give them the money to shut down. He always was portrayed himself as the outsider, somebody who was skeptical of this. And that he, you know, we would criticize Fauci, but never fire him, that kind of stuff. So that was part of the psyop. Again, a president, he, as ridiculous as Trump is, if this thing had been real, he would have acted differently. He would have never said those. If the thing was real, he wouldn't have thrown those, you know, bits of skepticism out there. But it was all part of the production to make the public aware of that this is the guy. He's the one. And so they fell behind. The millions of people that support him, even now, doesn't matter if he's bragged about the vaccine and they saved millions of lives, they still support him. And the people that hate him, no matter what, they're not going to look at anything with COVID skeptically because Trump didn't wear his mask, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's, I have all his quotes in the book about all the ridiculous stuff he said going back and forth. Sometimes he said great stuff, like everything else, like he did about a many. Sometimes he said great, true things, and then he would contradict it and do something else. So he was right in the middle, one of the big stars of the greatest PSYOP in the history of the world.
All right. Well, hey, I'm going to get ready to get us out of here. That hour went by super fast.
Yeah.
Every time talking to you, Don, is always such a pleasure. And so easy just to sit and talk. We didn't really get into the whole thing with what's going on in Canada. Maybe we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. No, this is better, though, because I think knowing what's going to be banned is going to be like your book. It points out that the problem can't be blamed on one thing.
Right.
It's a mass conspiracy, right? And
yeah,
if you can provide good evidence of that, they can't have that out there. So I think next time we talk about censorship, I'll go into how they're going to criminalize it. And that's what they're going to do, is criminalize it so they can put you in jail, you know, where they can force vaccinate you.
Yeah, that's right. And if you people, you know, we've gotten a few libraries. Again, that's another thing I could go on about what they've done in the libraries. They've hidden it in the World Catalog. And the Library of Congress, it was sent a copy of the Library of Congress, like every book is, and that's not appearing anywhere. They're blocking it even there. And libraries are, I have lots of people that have suggested that the libraries, it's gotten in a few. So kudos to those few libraries that are doing it. But that's where you can start breaking it down, because the normies, when they see the new books sitting on the new book section of the library, when you walk in, that's when your book really gets a lot of readers, because it's not back on the shelves hidden. People suggest it to your libraries, try to break their algorithm there. That's about all we can do at this point.
Yeah. That's what I was actually going to ask you, was like, what can we, because I think we need to start coming as a community, instead of just pointing out the hypocrisy and the lies. Oh, we got to come up with some solutions, right? I was thinking, you know, if you can afford to get a couple copies and you're sure, like in the doctor's office, slide it in the magazine, because they don't renew their magazine subscriptions anymore. They got old Sports Illustrated, because everyone's on their phone. Yes. But slide it in there. Somebody might pick it up and start reading it, and then, you know, maybe they'll take it home with them, or maybe they'll say, well, let me find this book online, because it was kind of a page turner. There's things we can do. What do you think we could do, Angus, to try and fight this censorship?
Well, I have my autographed copy of Masking the Truth that Mr. Jeffries autographed.
That's right.
So I think I'm going to give a 1-star review on Amazon, and we'll see if that actually works.
Yeah. No, sure. That would be telling, wouldn't it? No, well, I mean, that would actually be telling, because and I don't know if I just think that they're blocking, because as I tell people, the only reason you don't even have to review it on Amazon anymore, just rate it. But the problem is, people are followers and they go by numbers. So they're looking at that 19, you know, Hidden History, they're much more likely to look like it's 600 and some ratings. But this one, they're holding on the numbers. So I suspect they probably would hold back on even negative reviews. They don't want the numbers up there. They don't want people to think that it's being read. And most people look at how many numbers are on Amazon, and that's why they figure, oh, it must be popular, maybe I'll read it.
But if they can get, if they're asking $999 for a copy, I should be able to get like $1,600 for an autographed copy, right?
Oh, that's why you start now.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Let me give some shout outs. We got a bunch of people in chat. Chat was popping today, absolutely popping. So Hobbit's in there, Narrow Way, Narrow Gate Ministries. That's Levi. He's in there. I know you know who he is, Don. He's in your chat too. Mm-hmm. Geesebusters left us a tip. Thank you, Geesebusters. It just says tip. There's no comment there. Tom Cooper, Assyrian Girl, Ann left us a tip earlier. Little John. Let's see who else. I know there's more. Number 6, New Prisoners podcast. Make sure you check them out. Raul's there. He does Event Horizon with Angus, and I'm on there sometimes. Who else? Risha M. I know him. Harps. Definitely Harps was in there. Assyrian Girl. I don't know if I said her. And if I missed you, I'm sorry. There's a lot of chat to scroll through. I've been trying to keep an eye on it, but I'm not a very good multitasker. Oh, way cool, Snoopy. What's up, man? Good to see you. And I know I missed somebody. I know I did.
Did you get Levi?
Yeah, Levi. He's in there chatting it up. But anyway, hey, thanks, guys, for hanging out. And I do appreciate the tips. I haven't figured out how to get that yet, but I think there's enough. Yeah. I've gotten enough the last couple shows that I think I can pay the StreamYard. I just got to figure out, because part of this censorship thing in my researching, especially for podcasts, is they actually want you to pay taxes. So I got to figure out if I got to self-report that at the end of the year, or if I do figure out how to get the stuff out of Rumble, are they going to automatically do that? You know? So anyway, it's another way they'll criminalize podcasting. But anyway, I'll go ahead and give final thoughts. We'll let Angus go, and then we'll finish up with Don, and then make sure you tell us where to find you and when you're on. And if you're working on something right now, let us know. Go ahead, Angus.
All right. So, I mean, the one thing I learned from COVID, you know, that I took away from it, you know, Bill Gates might be the largest farm owner in the U.S., but I am the largest toilet paper owner in the U.S. I stocked up. It will never happen to me again. But you can find me on Event Horizon, as Jason said. I do a podcast every other week. And Veterans Day, I want to go live, will be the first streaming. So if anybody has any veterans that they want to, you know, promote, or, you know, yourself, you want to come on and tell C stories or whatever, just hit me up at angusmustang@gmail.com. You'll see it on there. And, you know, send me whatever you want to put up there, or if you want to join the show. Thank you, Don. It was good working with you again today.
Right on, Angus. Oh, all right, Don.
Thank you, Angus. People can support me. I am shadow banned on social media. You can still try to follow me at Don Jeffries. They let some people through and then they unfollow them, but that's what they do. Facebook is pretty hopeless. I got the maximum amount of friends, but they just let me post personal stuff there. Substack is where I'm trying to get support. DonaldJeffries.substack.com. I protest. Please subscribe to me there. That's where I write regularly, and that's where I give news about my upcoming projects. It's shadow banned on Twitter and Facebook, all intents and purposes. So it gets out to way more people on Substack. My book, Pipe the Bimbo in Red, Dean Andrews, Jim Garrison, and the Conspiracy to Kill JFK, is outcoming. It's already out there for pre-sale. It will be officially published on November 15th, just right before the 60th anniversary of the assassination. It talks about my longtime friendship with Dean Andrews III, who I met through my brother, who's my brother's best friend. Dean Andrews Jr. was the guy John Candy played in Oliver Stone's JFK, very colorful lawyer. He had a much bigger role in this than people think. So it'll be interesting. People can learn a lot about the New Orleans aspect of the JFK assassination. And what was Hidden History 3, but it's going to be called The American Memory Hole, How the Court Historians Promote Disinformation. That will be published next spring by Skyhorse. So I'm still refining some of that with the help of Peter C. Kosh and Chris Graves. Of course, Chris Graves, our friend's in the hospital right now, very sick. So please, prayers and thoughts go out to him. He would love to hear from you, I'm sure. And so anyway, that's what people can do. And anything you can do, masking the truth, buying extra copies is great. And so many of you have, and I really appreciate that. But suggesting it to your libraries is just as good. And trying to write about it, trying to review, post reviews on Goodreads, try Barnes & Noble, try writing a review there. And seeing how far this thing goes if they post it there. And so you don't get many reviews on Barnes and Noble, but I'd love to see, you know, how many places it's being blocked as part of the shadow ban.
All right. And oh crap, I just accidentally messed the thing up. But anyway, if you go to Knights of the Storm, I had it on screen a minute ago, and you go to our friends tab, you're going to see where you can see Don. I made it easy for everybody. The links are there, so you ain't got to remember all the websites. And then go to Read, and I have a link there to your Substack, as well as some other like Vince Agnelli and David Knight, and then a link to your book. So, well, many of your books. You actually had more than I was aware of. I might have to go through and add a few more.
Yeah.
But yeah, please go. And then the schedule, we got America Unplugged coming on in a little bit less than an hour, or right around an hour. Yep. And I will see you all there. I will see you there, Don. And okay. I got to see Tony yesterday. I went to Branson and I seen Tony yesterday.
Oh, cool.
And cool. Yeah, it was kind of cool. I know Friday is not a good day to go visit Tony, because he does 2-3 podcasts, right? And he's Fulfilling Wolfpack.
Yeah, producing my show, yeah.
Yeah, producing your show. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I went back because I first just went there to drop off a gift for the staff. And then I was like, I'll be back because I wanted to purchase some silver, but I wanted to talk to my wife about, you know, what my budget was. And by the way, I will share this. I know I'm going along here. So I got this, and they got a lot of these. This is a 10-ounce silver bar. Silver's super cheap right now. And my wife said that I could spend whatever we spent on our trip. And I got to thinking about that. I got a 10-ounce bar for exactly what I spent for the fuel to get down to Branson. Myself, my wife, a friend of ours, that's an old friend of hers that went with us, and my grandson, we went to the aquarium. We went for a place to eat, kind of drove around. If you can like take one day a month and say, I'm just going to go to the park instead of going out on the town for a weekend or going to the movies or whatever, you could buy silver. You know, it's going to have to take a little bit of sacrifice. You know, don't go to the movies once a week, maybe go once a month and then join Wolfpack. But I'm not trying to make an infomercial for Wolfpack. I'm just a real big fan. And I know a lot of people in the chat are big fans of it as well. You're going to get your best bang for your buck that
way.
Me
too.
But all right. So, hey, I'll see you there on America Unplugged. And everybody take care. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to like and share and subscribe and all that stuff. I always forget to mention. And we'll see you next time.